Okay, so we're now recording. So looking at the book of Revelation, I thought we would start with just a little bit of a look at general revelation and special revelation. And eschatology, a simple definition for that is a study of last things when we're referring to the Bible. So Revelation, the book, it's often referred to as the apocalypse. It's the purposes of God being brought to completion. It's the goal of God's purposes is culminated in the book of Revelation and beginning in Genesis. So general revelation and special revelation, there's more than one way God reveals himself to mankind. So just looking at the term general revelation, it refers to God's revelation in nature as opposed to his revelation in scripture. More specifically, general revelation is manifest in several areas. For example, physical nature and human nature. God's revelation through creation of physical nature serves to communicate attributes about himself to mankind. That's the little note off to the left there that I just read. So general revelation refers to God's revelation in nature. In Psalms 19 verses 1 through 6, the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. In them he has placed a tent for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of her chamber. It rejoices as a strong man to run a course. It's rising from one end of the heavens, and its circuit is to the other end of them. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. So the heavens are telling of the glory of God, it says, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. So there's a natural revelation there that man can see and speaks of the attributes of God. In Psalms 97 verse 6, the heavens declare his righteousness and all the peoples have seen his glory. Job 12 verses 7 through 9, but now ask the beasts and let them teach you, and the birds of the heavens, and let them tell you, or speak to the earth, and let it teach you, and let the fish of the sea declare to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? So there's many scriptures throughout the Bible along this line that clearly indicate that nature is speaking to us. In Acts chapter 14, verses 15 through 17, men, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like nature with you, and we bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to the living God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in them is. In past generations he allowed all nations to walk in their own ways, yet he did not leave himself without witness. So he's talking about in past generations, he's talking to the Gentiles. And in past generations, as far as the Gentiles go, he allowed all nations to walk in their own ways, other nations than the nation of Israel. Yet he did not leave himself without witness among these nations, is what he's saying. For he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. He's saying that there's witness to the Gentile nations of God's existence. To the Greek philosophers, Paul speaks in Acts chapter 17 and verses 24 through 25, the God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. Even the heathen stand guilty before God. In Romans chapter 1, 17 through 20, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So there's a suppressing of the truth. We were talking a little bit about that this morning. Verse 19, because that which is known about God is evident within them. So there's that nature that God has put in man to understand, to know that God is. It is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen. That's pretty clear.
Yes.
He's being very specific. From the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse.
That's very plain.
Yes.
So, it helps to read over this and consider it, because an unbeliever may think, well, you just have to take everything by faith, and God hasn't proved anything to me. And,
yes,
you know what I'm saying, that approach. If you're really God, do this,
right,
or do that, and that will prove to me that God is real, instead of just opening up your eyes and looking around at nature itself, and you know God is real.
That's a good point, because in this setting of Scripture, God's saying that that person's a liar. That's what he's saying there, because he's saying they're suppressing the truth. They're rejecting it. They're saying, no, I don't want it. They're saying...
Well, that would be evolution. Right. That would be evolution. And the reason people actually believe in evolution is that takes a whole lot more faith than to know that God can speak the world into existence. Because there is absolutely no proof of evolution.
Yeah.
They haven't got the missing link, and all the stuff that they have is very sketchy at best.
Right.
That's why it's a theory.
Yes. Anyway, that's a good point. So Romans chapter 2 and verses 12 through 16. For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are just before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. For when the Gentiles, who do not have the law, do instinctively the things of the law, these, not having the law, are a law to themselves, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts. Though they don't have the law, they have that nature of the law written in the heart. They understand right from wrong, and they do by nature the things that are written in the law. They're a law to themselves, the Scripture says. Their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them. On the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. So, we've talked about these scriptures a number of times, but I thought, they're really good scriptures in showing the difference between general revelation, which is revelation to all mankind that God has given, not only built in the nature of a man, but also in nature itself. In Psalms 14 and verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's pretty much what you were saying earlier. Now, there's a place, we can't draw a hard line and say everybody's a fool that talks that way. Although it's a foolish statement and it's not true, there's probably a time in all of our lives when we said that before we knew the Lord. Similar type things.
Okay.
So it could be that some people are still searching. And
certainly,
they've been confused by false teaching and corruption in the public schools and the media, and probably a lot to do with their own personal rebellion themselves against God. But that doesn't mean that they won't come to that point of recognition sometime.
A lot of times when we were talking about God being known by the things that are, there are times in people's lives also, and depending on where they're at, especially when they're not a Christian or they don't have any knowledge of God, they can be in a state of being pretty confused and not even know how to rationally discern that God does exist. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Right, but the honest heart will always seek that out.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
The honest heart will always seek it out, and God will bring them to that point.
They'll come to that, yeah.
Yeah. If somebody that's truly, that's honest, and they really want to know the truth of it, and their pride isn't hindering them from knowing the truth of it, God is going to bring them to that point of understanding. So there's some basic ways that God is revealed in nature as a creator and as sustainer. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is the before all things, and in him all things hold together. And then in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So it is God, it is Jesus Christ who upholds the universe by the word of his power.
Amen.
First it says that he created all these things, and then he holds it together by the word of his power. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. There again, he's saying the same thing as he said in Hebrews, in the previous verses that we read, that not only did God create, but they hold together by the power of God.
You know, when he did the creation, he spoke to the ocean and told it how far it could come and no farther. I mean, the Lord God, when he made this heaven and earth, he set the boundaries.
Yes.
And that's why with Noah and the ark, if you think about this, it began to rain. The fountains of the earth were broken up so that the whole earth was flooded.
Yeah.
God controlled that. He allowed the boundaries to go further.
Right.
He just allowed the earth to be flooded.
Yeah.
The fountains of the deep.
Yes, there's so much evidence in God's creation that points to the reality of God. So we're looking at special revelation, point three. Looking at special revelation, we were just looking at general revelation, which is revelation that is knowable to all mankind. They don't need the written word to know things about God, to know that God is, to know his eternal power, to know his eternal Godhead. These type of things everybody can know. And so it's general revelation that all mankind will be judged by. I mean, as far as there's multitudes of people that Gentile people, I suspect, that have never heard the written word. And yet God has a law that they will be judged by, according to general revelation. But special revelation, we're talking about specifically the written word of God, where God is bringing his will to the knowledge of mankind through the different mediums, you know, apostles, the prophets, angels, Jesus Christ himself. God came in the flesh, he revealed. So there was different individuals that God used to reveal his word to mankind. And special revelation is a kind of a general term. It deals with all of the revealed knowledge of God. So the role of special revelation is seen in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. There's one setting of scripture there. And it is for the maturing of the believer. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So this is special revelation for the purpose of revealing God's will, teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, that the man of God might be equipped for every good work, being obedient to the word, the written word. So in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So he's talking about the changing of our thinking. As we've mentioned a number of times, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Even with the way we're thinking right now, we, as believers, we need our thinking changed by the changing of our mind, the changing of the way we think, to the written word of God, as opposed to so much of what we think to be the Word of God, which is not actually truth. That by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. So we're talking about the special revelation and the purpose, the role of special revelation, the real revealed word. Psalms chapter 19, verse 7 through 14, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So he's talking about the revealed word. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Without the written word, we wouldn't know that. We wouldn't know all of these different elements that were mentioned here to make wise the simple. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. So,
verse 14.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Amen.
That is a good verse to end that setting with, because we're talking about the maturing of the believer and the written word, the special revelation given by God and the effect that it has on the individual.
So what this section is saying to us is the words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart, will be acceptable in God's sight if we are looking to the Word to open our understanding. What is right, what is pure, what is true, we can think on those things, but we don't know any of that unless we know what God thinks.
Exactly.
And the way we know what God thinks is by looking at His revealed Word.
Right, he finishes it off though with that verse, 14, verse 7, he says, the law of the Lord is perfect, so he's talking about the word, reviving the soul, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple.
So he can see what God says
is
true, it works in your everyday life. That's why the testimony makes wise the simple. You can actually see it. God proves himself over and over.
Yes.
It isn't just blind faith.
Right.
Yeah, faith in God's word because it works.
Yes, it works. It makes a difference in an individual. When, before God gave his word, man didn't have his word to live by. They were judged by nature. But God was revealing his word to mankind so that man could have something to mature and grow.
It's a guide.
Yeah.
It is the truth.
Yeah. It's direction for us.
It's our roadmap.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're lost.
Special revelation is also given that we can grow to maturity and overcome the world, the flesh. But it's also given for instruction to avoid deception so that we can have discernment. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been from us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
You all have understanding of God's will. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you, the written word.
Mm-hmm.
If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is a promise that he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. So that was his purpose, that they would have discernment about individuals who are trying to deceive and draw us away from the truth.
And the promise of eternal life.
Yes, and the promise of eternal life. But the anointing that you received from him abide in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about everything, and it is true, and it is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. Maintain the word of God, the word of truth. So that special revelation gives us discernment. It allows us, gives us direction in the area of deceivers so that we will not be overtaken. So special revelation reveals the Bible alone is infallible and inerrant. Matthew 5, verse 17, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. So special revelation reveals the Bible alone is infallible and inerrant. Jesus Christ, he said, I came to fulfill the law and the prophets.
Mm-hmm. And he did.
And he did. There was no error in the Word of God. All of these prophecies that came forth hundreds and even thousands of years before Christ here are now being fulfilled in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Luke 24:27, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So he uses the term all, and to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself.
And that's when they were on the way to Emmaus after he rose from the dead.
Yeah.
He opened their understanding to the scriptures.
Right. And they were receiving this understanding and the fulfillment of all of those prophecies in Christ Jesus. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So that was testimony of the infallibility of the Word of God and the inerrancy of it. Luke 24 and verse 44, then he said to them, they are my words, and I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. John chapter 5, verse 39, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Hebrews 10:7. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. He came to do all that God had previously spoken of him.
Amen.
So special revelation reveals God as Redeemer, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And we wouldn't even know redemption without that special revelation was given.
Amen. Who Jesus is.
Yes.
Our Savior. Amen.
Special revelation reveals the Bible showing the only way of salvation. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Because if you confess with your mouth, this is Romans 10:9, the next verse, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? So here we have special revelation that God is revealing unique things to mankind through the communication of the Word of God. Okay, so concerning special revelation, here's a quote from Lewis Sperry Chafer. Anyway, he was a conservative minister and he believed in systematic theology. But prophecy, speaking of prophecy is distinct and unique feature of revelation wholly foreign to human ability. It amounts to history being pre-written, therefore must prove a great phenomenon. So it's history being pre-written is what prophecy is. God is speaking of how things are going to transpire hundreds and thousands of years before they transpire. Its fulfillment in the past is unquestionable, standing as indisputable evidence of inspiration.
Isn't it amazing that the book of Isaiah has been found complete the scrolls, and that has so many prophecies.
Yeah.
And they know that when that date, that scroll, when it dates back to before Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's thousands of manuscripts that identify the reality of the Word of God and the inerrancy of it. Okay, so the importance of understanding end time events, eschatological prophecy. You know, I've heard this, and I'm sure everybody has probably heard this from different ones, but I remember one individual in particular saying he didn't want to mess with the book of Revelation because it didn't have anything to do with what we needed to do today. He just wanted to be faithful to God and serve God and minister God's word, but he didn't want to have anything to do with Revelation because that wasn't really relevant for what we were doing today. But that's so contrary to God's word.
Right.
If God didn't want us to know it, he wouldn't have spoke it. He would not have he wouldn't have revealed it. It's vitally important that we understand, otherwise God wouldn't have spoken. So in 2 Timothy, he says, all scripture, this is chapter 3 and verse 16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable. So that flies in the face of that argument right there.
Sure it does.
To say that that's not important, we don't need to know that, that's to say God made a mistake. Mm-hmm. God erred in writing the book of Revelation, which we know is goofiness. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And so if we reject eschatology, the last thing, the book of Revelation, future events that God has clearly spoken, if we reject that, then we can't have a good understanding of the Word of God. It says it right there. Because it's for teaching, it's for reproof. All the scriptures are, the book of Revelation is, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. We can't be complete and equipped for every good work without that we have an understanding of all the Word of God.
Praise the Lord.
And if we take that approach, then clearly we have a great misunderstanding of Scripture.
I think it's more of a doubtful mind for a lot of people that they can understand it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
They feel insecure about understanding it, so they just shy away from it.
Yeah. But I think that's really the majority of
why someone would do that. Yeah,
they just try to turn away from it because it seems so daunting.
Yeah, it's intimidating.
Yeah.
Kind of like studying the book of Ezekiel.
Right. Mm-hmm. But if we approach the Word of God, that all the Word of God is knowable.
Right.
And if we approach the Word of God from a literal, historical, grammatical interpretation, then we come away with a totally different picture.
Right.
Because then we can find out what all the Word of God means. It takes effort.
Right.
But if we approach all of the Word of God from that, from Genesis to the end of Revelation, and we don't deviate from that, if we use the same interpretive methods for the book of Genesis that we use on Genesis through the New Testament writings, the epistles, if we use those same interpretational methods on the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel and Ezekiel, we'll come away with a reasonable, which God intended, understanding of his word, of prophecy.
Yeah, I think what it might be that it's not taught that it's as important as knowing that your sins are forgiven, that the word of God can be understood, that it is his will.
It's his plan and purpose.
To give us understanding.
Right. But many ministers in the pulpit, they don't approach it that all the Word of God is knowable. You hear this all the time. I just heard it the other day. I was listening to somebody, and the minister said, there's some things that we're just not going to know. Much of it is in the book of Revelation. A lot of that we just can't know. But we'll just pick out, we'll find out what we can. Well, if we approach it like that, well, we're never going to know.
Exactly.
In other words, it's not all knowable.
That's right.
And if they teach the congregation that, they're teaching it over the pulpit.
Exactly.
You know, what a sad thing.
They're preaching discouragement.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, he says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose.
Yeah.
Yes.
Making known to us the mystery of will according to his purpose.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's his purpose.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when you talk about purpose, and you've mentioned this numerous times of recent.
Yeah. Spoke, I take you over it.
Yeah, purpose is so important because the book of Revelation is the culmination of his purpose. It starts in Genesis, and the culmination mm-hmm. of it is in the book of Revelation.
Right.
That's the whole purpose of God. Here it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Revelation. There it is. The purpose of God. The completion. His intent for mankind. Yeah, that's a great scripture.
Amen.
So let's look at Romans 15 and verse 4. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. Mm-hmm. So if the minister is saying we can't really know, then he's going contrary to this very verse.
Right.
He says through endurance and through encouragement of the scriptures. So if the minister's up there discouraging the congregation, saying, well, you can't really know God's purpose, mm-hmm. which is, like we said, culminates in the book of Revelation, then I guess there's no wonder that some individuals might say, and that's not to condemn anyone, you know, when we say that, you know, that's not to say that they're not Christians or they're just misguided.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, for many years, and we can all say this, I'm certain, that the book of Revelation was indeed very daunting. And even Bible interpretation, how do you even approach the Word of God? How do we know that we're approaching the Word of God accurately?
Mm-hmm.
How do we know we're coming away with an accurate interpretation of what God was speaking? And so, and that's why we have put so much effort into answering that question and coming to that conclusion that you interpret the Word of God through a literal, historical, grammatical interpretation. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. Here again, he wouldn't say it if we couldn't receive something from it.
Amen.
Point 6, God's purposes for mankind was initiated with Adam. God's purposes are first mentioned in Genesis and brought to completion in the book of Revelation. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 5, now no shrub of the field was yet in the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprouted, for the Lord God had not set rain upon the earth, and there was no man to cultivate the ground, but a mist used to rise from the earth and water the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first, so we'll go past these rivers and go down to verse 15. Then the Lord God took man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. Verse 16. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, from every tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it you will surely die. In these couple of verses from verse 15 on, we see what God's purpose was, that mankind would be obedient to God's will. Verse 18, then the Lord God said, it is not good for a man to be alone. I will make him a helper suited for him. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle and the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. Anyway, in these setting of scriptures and from verses 15 and on, it initiates God's purposes for mankind on the earth, that mankind would have dominion over the earth, that mankind would be obedient to the Lord, submissive to his word. So now we're looking a little bit further down here, just about finished. The culmination of God's purposes. So eschatology is a study of last things, and looking at a definition for eschatology, Merriam-Webster Collegiate Dictionary, it's a branch of theology concerned with final events in the history of the world or of mankind. And a biblical definition would be, it extends to a broader biblical perspective to God's purpose and direction for history, as far as biblically speaking, looking at the definition. Scripture reveals God is moving history toward a future goal. As a result, eschatology deals not only with the end of history, but also with the outworking of God's good and sovereign purposes for his creation. The biblical hope rests on God's covenant faithfulness to destroy evil, rescue his people, and restore his creation. So that's just a brief look at general revelation and special revelation.
So when you look through the Word of God and you see examples of how God opened people's understanding to his word, opened his understanding to revelation, you can realize that that is God's plan for us. Like the scripture that Kevin read, to know the Word of God, to understand the Word of God, yeah, to be able to live the Word of God.
Right.
But it takes study, you know, to show yourselves approved. It's not just something that you just look at once and say, okay, I know everything, because you don't. You have to look at it, and that's why the scripture says to meditate upon the Word of God, give yourself wholly to it, that profiting may appear to all, is what Paul said to Timothy.
Yeah.
And there's many scriptures about learning and discerning good from evil. Man has his senses exercised to discern good from evil. So when you understand by study the Word of God, you know, by attending services, by listening, and by prayer and study, then when something evil comes along, you're not deceived.
Right.
You know what it is. You know what God is saying. You're not going to get in a big old mess because you're all confused.
Right.
I always think of Pilgrim's Progress and how I've been reading that lately. I'm at the spot in the beginning where he laid down to take a nap. And he lost the roll or the scripture. He jumps up to run off. Oh, it's almost dark. And so then he tries to go out without the word. Doesn't even realize that his slumber and sleep, his neglect.
Yeah.
How should we escape if we neglect so great salvation?
Yeah. Yes, I was thinking about that this morning. The importance of prayer and how prayer is so key in all of our lives to maturity, to growth, to holiness, to being a testimony to the world around us. Because if we leave off prayer, then we're going to leave off study of the Word. If we leave off prayer, we're going to leave off growth, spiritual growth, because we're not in fellowship with God. We have to pray, and we have to pray continually. It's so important that we begin our day in prayer, and that we spend our day in prayer, that through our day we are focused on the Lord. We have to work, but if we're maintaining the scripture, holding to the script, continue in prayer, pray without ceasing, the scripture says, we begin our day in prayer, and throughout the day we're offering up prayer to God off and on, and we're staying focused on God.
Amen.
So prayer is key, so that if we're praying, then we're much more likely to study. If we're not praying, then other things are going to take the place of the spiritual things.
Right.
That's just the way it is. You can't have both. Either you're going to serve God, we're going to pray, or the flesh is going to reign. It says that sweet water and bitter water can't flow out of the same fountain, and that's so true when it comes to the Word of God.
Amen.
so vitally important that we maintain in prayer and that we make every excuse to steal time to study the Word of God. That we pray, but we don't leave it just to prayer. Mm-hmm. That we get into the Word of God, that we steal time to study the Word of God, to meditate on the Word of God, to memorize the Word of God. And this is where our testimony, where the light of God is going to shine to the world around us.
Amen.
So Scripture reveals God is moving history toward a future goal. That's what all of Scripture is revealing. From Genesis, from the fall of Adam, you can see that God is moving history. From that very point, God is moving history toward a future goal. He's got purpose in mind.
I was reading someone's commentary on something, and they were talking about the things that are given to us in Christ, and he was saying, so we don't need to ask for them. But I was thinking, but we do need to find out what they are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that's our obligation.
Right.
Is to search it out. Paul said it was given to him to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ.
Right.
So better be students if we're going to know what he's preached.
Right.
It's not going to just fall in your lap.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's where that earlier scripture we read where he says, search the Scriptures.
Right.
For in them you think you have eternal life. In other words, you're missing it.
That's right.
Go back to the Word of God and search it out.
Right.
But they are they which testify of me, Jesus said.
Right.
Because he is eternal life.
Yeah, so search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Mm-hmm. But they are, it's the Word of God that testify of me.
Mm-hmm. The unsearchable riches. In another place it says unfathomable riches.
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't even enter our minds to consider, yet they're abundant.
Right.
The riches of Christ are treasures.
Jesus, in his ministry in the Gospels, he uses so many wonderful terms like, I am the bread of life, which means that we have to partake of bread to sustain life.
Right.
And get fat.
Yeah, in order to be healthy, we have to eat. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about spiritual things.
Right, sustenance.
Our sustenance is the Word of God for a Christian, for a believer. We are sustained by the Word. That is our bread. It is our meat for a healthy, spiritual Christian and for spiritual growth and maturity.
Right.
It's the Word. And there's no way, just like eating food, there's no way to grow to maturity naturally if you stop eating.
Right.
You'll starve to death. And the same thing spiritually. We have to maintain spiritually in order to be healthy. We don't want to be gaunt.
Right.
We want to be blimps when it comes to the Word of God. You know, when it comes to the Word of God, we want to be gluttonous. We want to obtain all that God would have for us. So, then he says, I am the light of the world. The revelation of truth.
Right, yeah.
So many parables pointing to the need for the Word.
Mm-hmm.
You go and sell all that you have and buy of me.
Yeah.
All pointing to a need of knowledge of God. And his Word, understanding of the Word. Well, it might seem kind of basic, but I think it was kind of interesting, you know, just looking at the difference between general revelation and defining it and focusing, bringing that into focus, as opposed to special revelation. And the general revelation is something that is clearly spoken of throughout the Scripture as far as creation, and that all man is blessed with the ability to see God in creation.
Right.
That God has placed it in man to know that. It's in his nature. And that it is through the suppression of truth that man rejects it.
That's good. That's a very good point. There's various reasons for the suppression of truth.
Yes.
And that's what you get, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the pride of life.
Human nature.
What we read in Romans today.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many contrasts through the scripture, the difference between God and man. Like in Romans chapter 5 where it says, for a righteous man, scarcely for a righteous man, would one dare to die. Would one die? I mean, it would hardly ever would happen, a holy person. But for a good man, someone that looks good to everybody else, well, some would dare to die. But God is so different. While we were yet sinners, slimy dogs, the spotless, holy God came flesh, dwelt among us, and gave his life.
Yeah.
Such a contrast.
Yeah.
And that's what he's trying to point out. He's trying to contrast. Men will say, well, are they worth dying for? Are they worth dying? Are they good enough?
Not a moment of time was wasted in making a plan for the foundation of the world.
Yeah. Before he ever created the world and mankind, it was already in the plan of God.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the shock to the individual when God revealed that and he wrote it?
Yeah.
You know, the prophets of old.
Right.
The ones that were writing,
yeah.
The apostles that were used of God.
Foundation of
wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a wow to us when we read it the first time.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the person
having never heard it before?
Right.
Or anyone
thought it.
Yeah.
Here God reveals it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. Think how amazing heaven's going to be.
The wonderful truths of God's Word bring light to all the confusion, bringing understanding where there was no understanding, giving light to the lost and the dead and the undone, which all we were all lost, dead and undone.
Without God.
And God brings this wonderful light, this revelation that brings deliverance through faith of all things, and that we can't do anything to earn it. Of all things. And that's so contrary to the way we think.
Yeah, we have to earn everything in this life.
Anybody that has that doesn't know the Word of God, most of them that they believe in God, they all believe that you have to earn your way.
Well, that's the way I was before.
That's how we all are. That's kind of our nature.
Exactly, that's the way life is.
We have to pay for it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we were talking about. That's the general revelation that God has given to all mankind, to recognize that there's something wrong, that we're sinners. We recognize that by nature, that we're sinners. And so by nature, we want to somehow
fix
that problem.
Yeah. We also recognize that it needs to be fixed. We need to do something about that.
Yes.
And so we go about to come up with an answer for that.
That's because of our conscience.
Mistakenly thinking that, you know, if we do enough good things, that it's going to buy favors in God's sight.
Yes. And it's the recognition that their life is short. Everybody that does that, it's because they recognize that there's a reckoning day coming.
Yeah, it's a fear of that.
There's a fear of that day coming.
Impending.
And being unprepared for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So with all effort, mankind, they set out to solve the problem. But so often they'll seek to solve it in any way except for God's way.
Right.
Well, and we do that continually ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
We constantly struggle with having to remember that the battle is the Lord's.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, as far as trusting in God for the challenges that come to our life.
We try
to consult with the Lord and plan, help Him plan it out. Now, Lord, if you could just do it this way, this would work.
Yeah.
I just stopped and think, oh my goodness. He doesn't really need my help. I just need to pray for His will to be done.
We forget that. You know, we naturally want to fix it. And we're inclined to do that.
Well, in our minds,
until we
refocus.
You know, refocus and realize that, you know, we need to leave it in the Lord's hands, let it roll off your shoulders, and be at peace and know that God is faithful.
And God will bear that burden. God will
bear the burden.
Yeah. It'll work it out.
It is too big for us. It's beyond us. He wants us to depend on Him.
That's a fact. And that's where the failing came in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
Because the reliance wasn't placed on God. But now through Christ Jesus, we have that wonderful opportunity to turn it over to the Lord, to pray.
And then you can see how the enemy used deceit to suppress the truth.
Yeah.
Half God said. Then you can see how the lust of the flesh, she saw that it was good to look on it, going to make her wise. So all of those things suppressed what she knew. If you eat of this tree, you will die.
Yeah, but it was put out, you will be as God if they were to eat of this.